And today we're going to finalize or end up our stress series. Have you enjoyed this? Has it been informative and good? Three, four of us, five? How many's enjoyed? Okay, good. Thank you. No, it has been good. And today I think is exceptional, even if I say so myself. It's going to be good. As in all my study and searching and people sending me emails trying to help me and running the web and doing these things, I found some things I want to share with you that I think are really, really good. And this first one that I want to share with you is called the Stress Reduction Kit. Here it is. I want to read the directions to you. It says, place this kit on firm surface. And number two is follow directions in the circle of the kit, which says to bang head here. And then repeat step two as necessary or until unconscious. And then step four, if unconscious, cease stress reduction activity. How many feel like sometimes when you get stressed out, you're ready to beat your head against a wall, against something? I thought that was really, really good. And I also found what the psychiatrists are asking people to do now when they're under a lot of stress. Is close your eyes and imagine yourself in this little valley, you know, this quiet, peaceful place that only you know. It's so serene that no one knows about it but you. And you're there alone. You're there, and the sky is just crystal blue, and you know, just beautiful. Not a cloud in the sky. A nice, soft breeze is blowing through the trees, and you can smell the fresh air. Butterflies and birds. It's just a beautiful place. The only thing you hear is the peaceful little waterfall as it falls into this quiet pool. It's so clear in the water. You wait out, and it's just the perfect temperature. And you wait out there, and the water is so clear that you can actually see the face of the person you're holding underwater. And then I got this other one that I think is really good. It's a definition for stress. Let me show you this picture. If you ever wonder why a chihuahua was always shaking, now you kind of know, right? That's a definition for stress. What I want to talk about today is the power of laughter. You gotta laugh. There's so much sickness in the world today. There's so much going on that's stress-related. I'm going to talk about this all day today. That's stress-related. We have stomach problems. We have high blood pressure. We have viruses. We have all sorts of problems that are going on in our physical bodies simply because we do not know how to handle stress properly. And if we could just learn how to handle stress better and get the proper medication for it, then we're going to live happier, we're going to live longer, we're going to live healthier, we're going to have far better lives. God doesn't want you to be stressed out all the time. And when you're living out there on the edge and things are always constantly stressing you out and stretching you out, when that kind of thing's going on in your life, it's just not what God has planned for you. That's not God's best. So God has a medication, and we want to talk about that medication today. And here it is. It's in the book of Proverbs. It's in chapter 17 and verse 22. And it says here, a merry heart doeth good like a what? Like a medicine. Now note, see this, that your merry heart, your laughter, your joy is medication. Same as, doeth like. It's like a medication. And he goes on and he says, but a broken spirit, where things come, depress you and get you down and break you down and make you unhappy and get you angry, those kinds of things. But a broken spirit drieth up the bones or makes you sick. So God's solution for stress and every stress-related disease, every stress-related situation, every stress-related thing that affects our body or our mind, the medication that God has given to every single one of us is laughter. It's a laugher inside of you. Shakespeare said this, a light heart lives long. Shakespeare said that. They had a handle on this long, long ago. This isn't something new. A light heart lives long. Laughter is God's way of stress release. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but these are statistics, scientific statistics. 94% of the diseases that you and I face in the world, in the United States, 94% of them are stress-related. 94%. Only 6% of the diseases that we face, that you and I are going to face in our lifetime, only 6% of those things come from viruses and bacteria. Only 6%. So, if we could learn how to handle stress better, we're going to be healthier. Our body is going to function far better than it is right now. And we're going to have great and better lives. God has given us His medication. God's answer to stress and to sickness is to laugh. You know, here's a statistic. Here's a thought. As soon as a person laughs, the mind and the body become free from tension. Immediately. When we get tense, when something stresses us out, what happens is your blood pressure immediately rises, which affects your heart. And then that affects your brain. And then that affects your kidneys. Your whole body is affected that quick when stress comes. That fast. So if we could learn how to handle this, things in our whole body are going to go better. Our mind is going to function better. We're going to make better decisions. Our life's going to go better. We're going to be healthier. We're going to have a better immune system. We're going to ward off those things that try to attack us better. Laughter actually releases healing throughout your system. We've all seen this. You know, even in ancient times, the emperors, the kings, the dictators, they hired court jesters. Remember those funny-looking guys that run around with those little fun? They hired the court jesters to make them laugh. They had a far better handle on this than some of us do, even way back then. Why? Because they understood that laughter was connected with health. When you go to a circus, they have clowns. Why? Because what laughter does is draw you into it so you can enjoy what you're experiencing far, far better. You watch a sitcom or a comedy show on television. They incorporate, they embed into that recorded laughter. Why? Because laughter is contagious. Well, just a few weeks back, we were keeping our two youngest grandchildren, Michael Lance and John David. Michael Lance, 4, and John David, at the time, I think was 2, but he's now 3. But anyway, they were watching television. We had acquired a DVD, and this DVD that we had, what someone had done is gone to an animated theater, animated movie at a theater, and had recorded it on a camcorder and then burned it to a DVD, and that's what we had. But not only when they did that, not only did they get the animated picture but also and the sound from the picture, but also the sound that the audience was making. And so it wasn't on the image, on the animation, but when the people would laugh, the audience would laugh, and it would play through the television, Michael Lance and John David would laugh. And every time. And then when they would laugh, Judy and I were sitting behind them, we would laugh because they were laughing. Laughing is contagious. We'll be sitting at home and I sit here with my computer most of the time and she's sitting over there and she's either with her computer talking on telephone with her sisters. And when she's talking on the telephone with her sisters a lot of times, she'll just crackle up in laughter. I mean, she just burst out in a real laughter that just fills the house, and she's just sitting there laughing. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what the conversation is concerning, but I just start laughing because she's laughing. Laughter is contagious. It draws you in. And this is so important, and what I'm wanting us to see, and I want to mention this again later, is that it's contagious, just like a disease is contagious, just like a cold or a virus or a flu is contagious, so is laughter. And so what you want to do is not get around unhealthy people that won't laugh, right? As sour pusses and you know, just hating life and stressed out folks. What you want to do is plant yourself around people that laugh, because what they do is they get you laughing. And every time you laugh, you're releasing these good things in your body that's healing you and bringing you strength and making your life better. We need to learn to laugh. We got to get our laughers out. We got to get them lubricated so that we can get into this. Albert, you know what? I'm just not a jovial kind of a person like that. I just don't laugh a lot. No. Something has messed up your laugher. God gave you a laugher just like He gave everybody else. What's happened is stress and responsibilities and things of life have come in and rusted it and got it where it's not working right. You see, when you laugh a lot, you're looking for things to laugh at. You're anything becomes funny to you. A sense of humor is developed. You work with it. You laugh at things. And many people have almost lost the ability to laugh. Some of you, it's been a year since you've really had a good belly laugh. Do you know this, that on the average day, a child will laugh 150 times. That's average. And we all know that. You get a little children, they laugh at everything. We've got the 3-year-old, 4-year-old, and a 10 and a 12, huh? Nah, 9 and 10-year-old. And now the 9 and 10 are in this crazy place between being little children and being teenagers. And they like to watch these teenager things on television. And so when they start watching them, they think the weirdest, silliest, dumbest things are funny. But they laugh. I mean, they laugh 150 times a day on the average. Do you know what the average is for an adult to laugh? 4 or 5 times a day. 4 point something. What does that mean? That means that some of you, unless you went to church here today, aren't going to laugh. Some of you have gone a long, long time and haven't laughed. Now, some of us are a little better, but even if we laugh 8 or 9 times, think about this. When we were little, we laughed 150 times a day. And now we're laughing 4 times, 5 times a day? What happened? What took the joy out of life? I'll tell you, stress and responsibilities. Things grieve us and weigh us down. Things break our spirits, break and get into the marrow of our bones. Listen, just because we get older and have responsibilities don't mean we need to stop laughing. We need to get our laughers working again. Some of you haven't had a good belly laugh in a long, long time. I mean where you laugh till you cry. A good, deep laugh. And I want you to stop, if that's you. And you say, I'm one of these people that don't laugh a lot. I want you to stop. I want you to look at your health right now. How's your health? You having migraines? Having high blood pressure? How's your health? You're very immune to viruses, flus? Have a lot of colds? How's your mental health? Things get to you? Have a lot of nervousness? How's life? How's your spiritual life? How's your relationship with God? Your relationship with people? See, we got to get our laughter working again. You will feel better. You're going to be healthier. You're going to get more accomplished in life. You're going to become more creative. You're going to be healthier. You're going to live longer. You're going to be better to people. You're going to find out that life will be better for you. A lot of these things that I'm throwing at you are scientific facts. Doctors say that cheerful people resist disease better than the gloomy and the distressed and stressed out people. The frequency of the common cold, our sore throats, infections, chest infections, are reduced if laughter therapy is practiced. Think about that. Laughter therapy. In other words, you hire yourself a court jester. How would you do that today? You go get a funny movie. You go get you a funny book. You watch funny things on television. You read jokes. And you do it on purpose. It's a therapy. And if you'll do that, you're going to live longer. Longevity experts say this, that and agree that the people that are optimistic about life live longer. And that the people that are that they're living to an older age and living healthy at an older age are people who are optimistic in life and have learned how to not let the cares of the world weigh them down so badly. You can literally add years of health, healthy years, to your life if you just have a laughter therapy. Purposefully laugh. Make yourself laugh. Think about it. Have I laughed today? Has anything really tickled me today? And if not, then do it. And I'll tell you how in just a little bit how to do some of that. Judy's grandfather, there's nothing to me more precious than an old person who's got a lot of joy and happiness. Judy's grandfather, when I met him, I think he was in his 70s. And he was working every day of his life, climbing ladders better than I could. He was working every day of his life, and he was a very, very happy person, very healthy person. In his 70s, he remarried. We thought that was strange, but he was up for it, and he went for it. And he was a happy guy. He was funny to be around, always cracking us up and stuff. Well, then, when he was in his early 80s or so like that, his wife died. And this happens to so many older folk when their spouse dies. He lost his laugher. And little by little, he got iller and iller. Physically, he deteriorated. Mentally, he deteriorated. And he died a few years later in at 90. Still 90, but I mean, that's great. But my point is that when you lose your laugher, it's downhill. My dad was that way. My dad was a jovial person. He was always laughing. I probably got my laugh from my daddy. He would play Santa Claus, and he was always cutting up and being funny. And then my mom died in 1993, and daddy lost his laugher. And he began to deteriorate. Deteriorated in his physical body, deteriorated in his mind. What I'm wanting you to see is there is a connection between laughing and health. And if your laughter is broken for whatever reason, you really need to get it fixed. And you need to get yourself some laughter therapy so that you can have a healthier life and a better life and a longer life. Now, we're all going to get old and we're all going to die one day. But I have made my mind up that I'm not going to become a grouchy old man. I'm not going to be a grouchy old person when I get older. I'm just not going to do it. When I go out, I'm going to go out with a smile on my face and a laugh in my heart. How about you? Do you want to be a grouchy old person when you get old? Huh? Don't want you rather be a laughing person, a person enjoying life? Well, see, that's a decision you make. You decide, I am going to laugh today. I am going to find something funny, even if I have to laugh at myself. I'm going to find something funny to laugh at. I want to show you this because doctors say that laughter boosts the immune system. And I want you to see this, so put that up for me, please. When we laugh, we secrete hormones that stimulate the heart and act as natural painkillers. So when you're in pain, if you can laugh, and it's not easy to laugh when you're hurting, but if you will, then the body will begin to deal with that discomfort. With natural painkillers, they found that laughter actually releases the body's natural tranquilizer. So when you're upset, something's got you weirded out and stressed out, laugh. It's not easy to laugh. You do it on purpose. Because it releases natural tranquilizers useful for those suffering from. Now watch this. This is scientific. Suffering from insomnia, depression, high blood pressure, joint pains, diabetes, and other stress-related problems. A merry heart is like a medicine. A good laugh a day will keep the doctor away. When we learn how to laugh and get our laughter working and have laughter therapy, we're going to live longer and we're going to live healthier. I heard a story about a woman who was suffering from insomnia. And she was taking all these tranquilizers, and she had taken so many that they no longer affected her. She didn't even sleep with tranquilizers. So she was going to the doctor, and she says, "I have got to sleep. I cannot sleep." So he says, and he knew the medications that she had taken, and he says, "Try this." And she said, "I will try anything, do anything. I got to sleep." And a lot of people say, "I'll try anything and do anything," until they hear something like this, and it sounds so silly. But she said, and the doctor said, "Well, okay, you laugh. Before you go to bed at night, before you try to go to sleep, you laugh. You make sure you've laughed one good laugh before you lay down at night. Watch television, see something funny, read a book, read a joke, laugh at something, but laugh before you go to bed. You're not sleeping anyhow, so it's not good, but make sure you laugh before you try." And so she thought it was silly, but she went and she tried it, and little by little she began to sleep better, began needing less and less tranquilizers. In a few weeks, she was totally off of all of her tranquilizers and sleeping like a baby. What if? I mean, could it be? Could it be that the healing that you have been longing to have is hidden behind your laughter? Could it be that the thing that has been holding you back physically or mentally or spiritually even has been held back because your laughter hasn't been working? I mean, what if? What if we would all just laugh, a good laugh a day? I believe we would see the migraines back off, the backaches, the aches and pains that we have, diabetes, high blood pressure, the insomnia, whatever. See it go away. Because the merry heart is the medicine. It works the way God wants it to work. There's too much sickness in the world today. There's too much of this, and even medical science is deciding now that it's because people are not laughing enough. We live uptight, we live stressed out, we live on the edge all the time. We don't even laugh anymore with our family or with our children. God has provided for us a medication that's free. You can take as much of it as you want. There's no side effects, negative side effects. You can't overdose on it, and it's guaranteed to work. Why don't we do it? I want to ask you today, what if each one of us decided right now today that we're going to laugh good hard laughs 3 times a day? I'm not talking about a smile or a chuckle. I'm talking about a good belly laugh, something that really got us giggling, you know, got us releasing these endorphins that are in there and these tranquilizers and these things that help us heal. What if we did that 3 times a day? What if we did that? Would that not be good? I think that we would see an amazing thing start taking place. We'd have more energy. We'd feel better. We'd be more creative. We'd live longer. We'd be happier. We'd be better to people, which means people would be better to you. The little aches and the pains that we suffer from today would just go away. How many know what fibromyalgia is? Several of us. I have a couple of people that I really care about that suffer from this. And so I've done some research with it. And of course, it worked right into what I wanted to talk about today. If you don't know what fibromyalgia is, it's muscle pain. But it's not just pain in a muscle. It's pain in every muscle. Every muscle in your body hurts, and you can't do anything. You can't do the most minimal of things without suffering pain. And so you end up doing nothing, and you take medication to try to help. But all medication really does is minister to the symptoms of the thing, but never really does a healing, never does touch the real problem. Today, fibromyalgia is one of the most common types of chronic pain in the United States. But do you know what the number one thing that they're now deciding, the number one way to treat fibromyalgia is? Laughter. You know what the number two is? An optimistic attitude. But see, when you're hurting all over, you don't feel like laughing. It's hard to be optimistic when you're hurting. It's hard to be optimistic when you're so drugged up so that you won't hurt. It's hard to be in that way. So I heard a story about a woman who was suffering from fibromyalgia. She went to the doctor and she was heavily medicated. And she went in and she says, "I've got to get some help. Something, I can't do anything. I don't have any energy. I can't do anything. I hurt all the time. You gotta help me with something." And he knew that he could give her more deep and heavier medication, but she was already medicated. And so he said, "I know I'm just ministering to the symptoms. I'm really not helping you. Let me, and he had read the studies and he knew. He said, "Will you try something?" "Sure, I'll try anything." So he says, he asked her a question. He says, "When is the last time that you really had a deep laugh, a belly laugh? When's the last time that you did this?" And she says, "I don't know." And he said, No, I really want you to think. I want you to go back in your mind, in your history, and you tell me a day, a time, an event where you really laughed, and you remember was funny. Tell me that." And she thought, finally came up with something. And then he says, "Okay, how long ago was that?" She says, "Figured it up, miss. 30 years. 30 years. And then she says, "You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, when I was even young, I didn't laugh a lot." He says, "Okay, here's your prescription. Here's your prescription. You go out and you get your hands on every funny movie you could get. You go out, you get your hands on every funny book you can get, and you start reading. And you laugh as much as you can. You watch funny stuff on television. Nothing serious. You, for the next 3 months, this is your prescription. I want you to laugh as much as you can every single day." And she says, "You come back in 3 months and let's see how things are going." Again, thought it was silly, but said, "I should try anything." So tried it. Little by little, the pain began to back off. Little by little, she got more energy. Little by little, she was able to do more and more and function better and better. 3 months later, she goes back for her checkup. The doctor walks into the room that she's waiting for him in. He walks in and he looks at her and immediately he knows she's better. She has a smile on her face. She has a sparkle in her eyes. And she has a tone of voice that's not medicated. And he says, "How are you doing?" And she says, "Doctor, I feel better than I felt in I don't know how long." Listen, you got to get your laughter working. Laughter is God's answer to all these stress things and all these diseases and all this stuff that we face. Your healing could well be hidden behind your laughter. Let me read you this verse. It's in Proverbs 15 and verse 13. And it says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." What does that mean? It means you can look at somebody and just about tell how happy they are. You can look at somebody and tell about how long it's been since they laughed. "But by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Grief things, sorrowful things will bring you down, will break your spirit. And we've all been around people and seen people that are broken down like that, broken with grief, broken with sorrow, broken in bad times. And the reason that you look at them and they've got that look on their face is because they haven't laughed in a long time. There's nothing sadder than a funeral. And I used to do traditional type funerals. You know, you've been to one funeral, you've been to them all, unless you've been to one that I do. And I decided that I was going to change that up. I don't know what made me decide. I don't know really when I even began doing it. But what I do now is when I'm asked to participate in a funeral, I'll go to those that were really close to the person who passed, and I'll ask them for some funny stories about the person who has passed on. Let me go ahead and say this. You see, I'm not there to preach a funeral. The person's already preached their own funeral. We all preach our own funerals before we die, right? I am there for the family. I am there to minister to the family and to help them get beyond the grief and to start the healing process. That's what I'm there to do. And so I'll ask for these funny stories, and they don't really know how to take that initially unless they know me and know how I do. So I'll ask for these funny stories, and I'll say, "Please tell me something," and I'll explain to them just a little bit. And I'll say, "I'll be around here for a little while, so when you get somebody with somebody and come over and find me, and then tell me these stories." Now, they may be crying and grief-stricken when I propose this to them, but in a few minutes they'll come find me and they'll have some study, and they got a smile on their face. Where they were crying and all down and broken, now they've got a smile on their face because they've already started thinking about something that was humorous. So they're coming to me and they start relaying the story, and while they're telling me the story, 10 minutes ago they were broken down and crying, now they're laughing. And so when I share the story with the people at the funeral, everybody's laughing. Well, just about everybody. There's always a few sourpusses that don't think you should laugh at a funeral. Just like you shouldn't have fun at church, you know. But there's always those kinds of people. But for the most part, people will laugh and it heals that broken spirit. It begins that healing process. And I've had people come up to me and say, thank you so much. What you said just made him or her alive to us again. Thank you so much for helping us. A merry heart controls your countenance. A merry heart, a broken spirit, a grieving spirit will break you down. Proverbs 15:15 says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Now, what does that mean? That means that though you're going through a very bad time in life, if you can find something to laugh about in it, you can change that bad time into a feast. You can change that bad time into a good time. Several years ago, before I went into the ministry, I was very active in the church that we attended, which was called New Life at the time. And I had built up this fishing trip, and we were pulling three boats down to Panacea, Florida, and we were going to go fishing. Had about 10 or 12 guys going fishing with us. So we pulled these three boats down. We were putting them in at the marina. And so this one guy, he puts his boat in. He pulls over here behind a pontoon boat while the other boats are putting in. So we all get our boats in, so we're about to go out into the ocean and go fishing. Well, he's behind this pontoon boat, and we don't know why he did it. He doesn't know why he did it, but suddenly he just romps down. He cranks it up, and he romps down on the throttle and just rams into the back of this pontoon boat and hits it so hard that his boat bounces up and comes back down on top of the pontoon boat and then slides back into the water. But that's not enough. He does it again. He panics. He freaks out. He pushes it again. He does the same thing again, bounces up, comes down back on top of that pontoon boat again, slides back into the water. And then he cuts his engine off. And there is this deafening silence all over the marina. And everybody's looking around. What are we going to do now? So I holler out, hit it again, Tom! And when I did, of course, all of us were laughing. Tom didn't think it was too funny to start with. But then he started laughing too. See, I was not going to let that destructive moment kill our fishing trip. We were going fishing! It became a feast, and it was. It all worked out well. But it's because you just will not allow those things to happen, those things to get to you. I want to ask you today, how long has it been since you had a good belly laugh, a good hearty laugh? How long has it really been? See, here's my point is we won't, and there's nothing wrong with what I'm about to say, so don't read me wrong, but we won't miss a prescription. We won't miss that blood pressure medication. We won't miss that tranquilizer. We won't miss that pill for our diabetes. We won't miss that injection. We won't miss that. But we'll go a year without laughing. What's up with that? Laughter strengthens relationships. Some of our best friends, and been some of our best friends for 30 years, are Barbara and Buren Goss. He was our pastor when we came into the kingdom of God. We became very close friends with them. And then not long after our relationship developed, we decided that we were going to go to Florida to go on vacation together. So Barbara, in her temperament, she's a high eagle, I'm a high lion. So we're sitting at the table making our list and deciding what we're going to do, planning it all out, what we're going to eat, what we're going to do, where we're going to go, day by day. We look around, and they had gotten some furniture, I think, that day. And they had this big cardboard box in the middle of the floor of their living room. And we looked around, and here is Buren and Judy taking turns getting inside this box and the other one pushing them around on the carpet. And what was so funny is to see Judy pushing Buren around on that cardboard box. We belly laughed. We just crackled. And every time we think about it now, but it strengthens relationships. You see, when you want to get around people that make you laugh. You want to get around people because it helps you stay healthy. Don't get around sourpusses. Stay around healthy people that are laughing and that will cause you to help. But it strengthens your relationships because people are drawn to happy people. It's great to have laughter in your home. It's great to have laughter in your home. I mean, think about this. When laughter leaves, usually means the enemy has shown up. When laughter leaves, you better look around and find out why. Why aren't we laughing? And you better look over there in the corner, because probably the enemy is hiding in the form of stress, or the form of anger, or the form of suspicion, or the form of rebellion. Look around. He's there somewhere. There was a study done on death row inmates. And they found out that these guys and gals that were on death row were raised in very dysfunctional families where there was never any laughter, never any joy, only anger, meanness, and hate, yelling. Listen, some of you could heal your children if you'll get laughter back in your home. Some of you could heal your marriages if you'll get laughter back in your home. Think about it. When you were dating, when you fell in love, you laughed a lot. Everything was fun. Everything was funny. You laughed together. You hooked up. What's happened? Stress. What's happened? Responsibilities. Enemies snuck in. Remember this. I have never one time seen a happy home, a place where there was a lot of laughter and a lot of fun, bust up. A home that will laugh together will stay together. People draw people to them when they laugh. You'll hear somebody laugh and you'll say, what are they laughing about? You kind of want to know. You know, it's very interesting, but sour people push people away. That's why I try to make church fun. And I try to give you something every week. I try to do something that's funny or make you laugh in some way every week, because I believe that draws people into the kingdom of God. I want you to laugh because I think Christians should be the happiest people in the world. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If you're going to be strong, you're going to have to laugh. You've got to be able to laugh at yourself. I got to do this fast. I had just purchased my boat, my new boat. And we were taking it out on its first fishing trip. And we were fishing. We were catching lots of fish in the Gulf of Mexico. And we were fishing in 80 feet of water. And we were catching a lot of fish, and they were flopping in the floor. We were unhooking them. Well, I caught this really nice snapper, and I brought it up, and I unhooked the fish and took it up to my fish box, put it in the fish box on ice. And I came back, and I had slime on my hands. And so I went back to where I was fishing and where those fish were flopping. And I stood there, and I reached over, and my boat's this deep. And so my little other boat was about that deep. But anyway, so I'm leaning over into the Gulf of Mexico to wash my hands. And I was standing in this slime. Yeah. Phoop! And I couldn't stop myself. There's nothing I could grab. I was in the Gulf of Mexico that fast, flipping right over the boat. Well, prescription sunglasses, grabbed them, cell phone in my pocket. Too late. Now I'm angry. Now I'm upset. I'm wet. I'm in the 80 feet of water. Sharks, you know, all this stuff going in your head. And I'm swimming around to the back of the boat. And I'm climbing up the boat. Got to call John. Get me a new... I'm on vacation. You know, I'm uptight. So I'm climbing back in the boat. And I get back in the boat and Buren belly laughs. I mean, he just cracks up laughing. I didn't think it was too funny. I just said, I don't think I'm going to laugh. I had to pray about it. And then I started thinking, well, if it had been him, I'd laugh. And I started thinking about how funny I had to have looked, just leaning over and just gone, you know. So I started giggling, and then I started laughing. And we sat in that boat, and we every time laugh now. Now, here's my point. Sometimes you can't find something to laugh about. Well, then laugh at yourself. Think of something you did that was goofy, something that you did was just hilarious, and it will make you laugh. You got to learn how to laugh at yourself. It's medicine. Do you realize that every time you've giggled, every time you've laughed today, you've gotten healthier? You've gotten stronger? Because a merry heart does good. Like a medicine, even though some of your laughter has been at my expense. But people are so stressed out, they don't even laugh with their children or with their families anymore. It's because it's such bad times. Well, Delbert, it's bad times. No, this is what you got to learn. When the times get worse, that's when you got to laugh the most. You got to laugh in the bad times. Job 5:22 says this, "You will laugh at destruction and famine." Now that seems backwards. What do we normally do in bad times? We don't laugh. You will laugh at famine and destruction. Why? Because you need not fear the beast of the earth. I want to read you this quote that I've got from a book called Laugh Your Way to Good Health. Let me read this to you. Okay. Humor is the affirmation of dignity, a declaration of man's superiority to all that befalls him. You see, what happens is when a bad situation comes, you laugh and it makes you superior to that situation. When you laugh, you're strong because the joy of the Lord is your strength. But when you don't laugh, you become weaker because you've lost your joy. And when you lose your joy, you're going to lose your strength. And when you lose your strength, you become weak. When you become weak, the enemy can attack you. Did you know that when you lose your joy, your immune system is weakened? Diseases, flus, viruses that you could have normally fought off because you've gotten upset, because you're in a bad time, because things are going wrong with you, you've now become susceptible to, they can get to you. They can attack you because you're weak. You've gotten weak. God's solution is to laugh at the thing. Not laugh at it so much as laugh in it. See, some of you are sick in your bodies. Now, you're not going to laugh at the disease. The disease isn't funny. The sickness isn't funny. But what you've got to do is laugh. Because in that laughing, you're going to find healing. Some of your finances are in famine. You've got to laugh. Because that shows you're superior to that. That shows that you're going to find a way out of that. That you're going to keep fighting. You're going to stay strong. You're going to stay in a place where you can defeat it. You've got to laugh. Some of you have children in rebellion. You've got to laugh. Not laugh at that. That's not a funny situation. But you've got to laugh to stay strong. You've got to get laughter back into that home. You've got to get that child laughing. You've got to laugh with that child. You've got to renew that relationship so that laughter can heal that relationship. Some of you, your marriage is in destruct mode. You've got to laugh. If you can laugh together, your home will stay together. You got to laugh. You stay strong. You're superior to the enemy. You're superior. The enemy does not like it when a home's laughing. He does not like it when you're laughing, when you're happy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the more you laugh, the stronger you get. Find some reason to laugh every day. It's medicinal. Today, I'm hoping, is a turning point for all of us. We enjoy laughing, but I hope now it becomes a therapy, a practice therapy, something that we see the necessity of doing. If you want to be healthy, you got to laugh. Make it a point to laugh every day. If you do, your marriage is going to be stronger. If you do, you're going to be stronger. If you do, your health is going to be stronger. If you do, you're going to be healthier, you're going to live longer. If you do, you're going to be more aware. You're going to be more creative. You're going to be able to accomplish more. You got to laugh. And if you will, you will defeat stress. It is God's solution to stress. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson. Lord, I do believe it's challenged us. It's caused us to think. We got to laugh. Father, I pray that every person here now will make a decision. That today is going to be a day when I make a decision that I'm going to laugh. I'm going to make myself laugh. I'm going to laugh at myself if I can't find something else to laugh at. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh in the face of destruction. I'm going to laugh in the face of famine. I'm going to laugh in the good times and the bad times. I'm going to laugh. When things are going bad in my life, I'm going to laugh. Things are going good in my life, I'm going to laugh. I'm going to stay healthy. I'm going to live old, and I'm not going to be a grouch. Merry heart is good like a medicine. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many of you would say along with me that not only do you enjoy laughing, but you now see the necessity of laughing and you really want the Holy Spirit to keep this particular message on your heart, even in the bad times. And you want people to remind you and say, you need to laugh. You need a merry heart. How many of you would agree with me that we need this? Would you raise your hand if you're in agreement with that? I see your hands. I think that's all of us. Father, thank you and help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to realize you've given us everything that we need to be successful in life, to be healthy in life. And Lord, laughter is a key. Laughter is so necessary. So Father, I pray each and every one of us goes out of here today with a smile on our face. We go out of here today with a laugh in our heart. And the Lord, we live the rest of our lives that way, laughing every day. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Now some of you, it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you're not where you need to be with the Lord, you have problems. You're not going to be happy in life. You're not going to be strong in life. Life's going to be rough on you. The enemy is going to attack you. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you need a better relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you know you're not where you need to be with Him. If that's you, would you, right where you're sitting, allow me to pray for you? Would you, right now, where you're sitting, raise your hand and allow me to pray with you? I see a hand there, hand there, hand there. Any others? Any others? Hand there. I see your hand. Any others? Any others? Let's all pray this prayer together. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to receive me. Say it loud. Talk with me. Father, Lord, help me become the person you want me to be. I believe God raised you from the dead. I believe that you are my Lord. I confess it and I receive you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you give the Lord a shout and hand clap? Yes, 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 yes. Let's stand together. I apologize. I really don't for going a little long, but it wasn't that long in rehearsal. But for some reason, it always gets a little longer here. And I semi do, but I think that was so necessary that we covered this one. It's the difference of life and death. It's the difference of health and destruction. We're going to worship the Lord with our giving. Father, we thank you today. We love you today. Lord, we come to you now offering, Lord God, the fruit of our labors. Lord, we worship you with our giving. You love a cheerful giver. Lord, we've laughed today, so we want to be cheerful about our giving. Lord, we want to laugh as we give it to you. Lord, we do that with joy. We do that with love, with adoration. Lord, we ask you to bless every single person here. Lord, financially, physically, mentally, spiritually, Lord, we ask you, Lord, if they don't have it to give, Lord, that you'll bless them so they will. And Lord, if we learned anything today, it's that we can laugh in the face of famine. And Lord, if we're not having the finances that we need, then we need to just laugh. And Lord, if we will, we'll stay strong and stay superior to that. And that, Lord, we'll become overcomers. So, Father, I ask you now in Jesus' name to bless every single one of us, Lord, as we bless you and we bless this community. We bless the kingdom in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you give him a shout and a hand clap for me? Thank you.